Welcome to Black Oil and Bee Stings, the officially unofficial podcast for the X-Files on Fox. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we are doing a little preview action for the miniseries coming up, the six-episode event, as they're calling it.
Yep.
The triumphant return,
yeah.
Hopefully.
It's the old shuck and yuck to get the iTunes feed primed. And
yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You got to, yeah.
But also, I recently went back in prep and watched some of the X-Files.
We should talk about our relationship with the X-Files. Have you watched any of the X-Files before this miniseries was talked about in terms
sure.
of bald move coverage?
Yeah, back in the day I watched a little bit of the X-Files. I was tangentially familiar with it.
Sure.
Like, I don't think I was allowed to watch it because it dealt with the supernatural
right.
and really weird shit. But I caught an episode here and there, and a lot of the stuff I remember was from the early going
sure.
of the X-Files.
So I moved out of my parents' house in 97, which was right around Oof. Season four of the X-Files.
Yeah.
And I remember watching a few episodes and being like, I never really watched a horror film. I liked it because of the science fiction stuff, and I remember feeling really uncomfortable and creeped out by some of the occult or ghost stories or demon stories.
Uh-huh.
But I went back and rented all of the seasons from my local library and watched them, and I became a really...
Because nice.
Yeah, I'd be a closet fan because, you know, the way we were both raised in the same environment, and you couldn't just be advertising that you're watching this spooky show.
Mm-hmm.
And I it was like my first taste of kind of internet fandom because
okay.
I was an early adopter of the internet and I was on Usenet and there's all this X-Files stuff and the first exposure to the term shipping because there was
wow.
the Mulder Scully shippers and the anti shippers and just people like just tear this thing apart and make online collections of the myth arc. And my love for the X-Files died. Like, it was at a fever pitch when the movie was released.
The first movie.
The
yeah.
first movie. The one that's subtitled Fight the Future.
In some places it is, yeah.
It's kind of like a new Star Wars. Is Star Wars...
Unofficial subtitle.
Is Star Wars, or is it A New Hope? It depends on who you ask and when it was released and all that. But,
yeah.
And I remember thinking, at last, we're going to get some answers. Like, they just literally can't go back to the old, you know, teasing. And then season six was more of that. And then season seven, I quickly became disillusioned. And then eight and nine, like, I remember
Come
when
on.
We first talked about this, I went on to the X-Files subreddit and people were asking the question, like, I was an old school X-Files fan. I noped out around season six, season seven. Do I need to watch eight and nine?
Mm-hmm.
And the response usually is either no or maybe watch the finale of the season nine. But
okay, like the finale of the series?
Yeah, the series
wow.
finale. But mm-hmm. I'm like, I've also heard that this reboot is going to come with like a 3 or 4 minute Lord of the Rings style prologue that explains everything you need to know to enjoy it. So fuck all of that. I'm not watching
yeah, yeah.
eight or nine.
I watched the first minute. Like the Fox had a little clip up on their thing. First
yeah.
minute of the new X-Files series.
Yeah.
And I watched that and it's basically Mulder throwing pictures on a table saying,
right.
here's the history of the X-Files.
Sure.
Here's my history. Here's me and Dana Scully.
And that's the thing. People ask me why. I mean, I blame X-Files for me not watching Lost because I got to season two of Lost and like, yeah, I see what's happening here. And no, thank you. Because that's the thing. Like, you can't pitch me on a show that's going to eventually give me all the answers. Oh, I know. I mean, I remember like reading all these. That was back in the era of TV Guide. I'd pour through these TV guides looking for Chris Carter giving clues. And yeah, I've got the story in my head. And oh, yeah, we got it all plotted out. And bullshit, man, because I'm pretty sure Fox Mulder was important to it, and he stopped being in the series before you wrapped it up.
So
you're a liar, Chris Carter.
Yeah, it's X-Files is a weird show, man. It's not like the modern shows where you'll have like a lot of continuity between episodes and
yeah.
like this very strong arc through the whole series, like a Lost, for instance,
sure.
which, you know, episode to episode they'd keep perpetuating this big plot. The X-Files had a lot of Monster of the Week stuff, which
yeah.
were kind of the most entertaining things for me in the X-Files.
To the like my fond memories of the X-Files, to the extent that I have them, which is a lot, are, you know, because I used to like the myth arc, and I remember watching,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was one of the things that they did on the early days of the internet, is you could come up with definitive myth arc episodes, you know? And I would watch those just to get, like, you know, for clues. But after I became disillusioned with the actual overarching plot, what stands out to my mind are the insane Monster of the Week episodes and some of the... It seems like every season would have a fan service episode. Something to, like...
What do you mean?
It'd be funny, or they would throw the shippers a bone and have Mulder and Scully making some fun, you know, some veiled fumbling attempts at each other, or... Mm-hmm. They would kind of sort of imply a relationship that might kind of be there. Essentially the same, like, you know, in the scene, because I know you recently watched a movie.
Yeah,
There's a movie where in the middle of the movie where Mulder and Scully are about to kiss in his apartment. And then Scully gets stung with a bee.
Yeah.
That's essentially a fan service episode in 30 seconds.
Okay. All right.
Oh my God, they're going to, shit. There's some black oil everywhere.
Yeah, the other strange thing about it is I felt like there was going to be this really strong mythology to the show. Like, judging by, like, seasons one and two, those are the ones I went back and watched recently. And there's a lot of stuff there that's like, Mulder's sister was abducted and like... There's a lot of stuff with
cigarette
the smoking man who they build up brilliantly.
And well-manicured man and this syndicate, and they're just pulling all the strings, and this X-Files is going to be a problem. But they
Deep Throat and, like,
as an X-Files fan, your balls get so blue from seasons 2 through 6 because it never progresses any further than it does.
It's a real shame.
And it's like... That's the thing, I guess I was outraged on season 6, is after you see the movie and, like, the truly momentous events that happen there.
Right, an alien craft coming out of the snow.
And then they hit the snooze button. I'm like, how the fuck? Like, to me, I think Chris Carter, and I feel sorry for him, because you're in an environment that says you have to keep people watching, because that's how you know, imagine if whether we got to do this podcast depended on... You know, how many people were listening to it from week to week?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would that shape our coverage? And if we ever got to a certain threshold, we would be gone. And whether we get the return, who knows? Like, I don't blame them. And the same thing with Lindelof. I don't exactly blame them for lying. I mean, it would in a perfect world, you would have an end game to where when Fox told you this is the last season, it's like, okay, it's time to employ the Omega season.
Yeah.
And you would wrap everything up and satisfy, but it seems like they just did whatever they could to get another season. And that's the thing, like, even the final seasons of X-Files are pulling, like, Walking Dead. Like, it's shocking. Like, 17 million people are still watching this thing, and it's not successful enough, they pull the plug.
Wow. I mean, that's 90s TV, right?
That's like, network, kind of proto-internet before, like, you know, the basic cable boom. And
before, like, the big fragmentation happened.
Sure.
You still have a very few number of channels.
Sure.
And the people watching are either watching this or they're watching, you know, one of the other big shows.
But I think in an alternate reality where Chris Carter took season 6 and used it to just wrap it up. And then, or maybe springboard into a series of movies that they could do every 2 or 3 years, kind of like Star Trek.
So that's the bizarre thing. Like, there's this movie, the X-Files or X-Files Fight the Future, whatever, which I thought was awesome. Like, I really liked that movie a lot.
It still holds up, I think.
Yeah, it's intriguing. It's got a lot of payoff. Both.
It's creepy. It's kind of scary. It's got good special effects.
It's good. And then 6 years after the series is over, after it's turned to shit, they decide we want to make another movie called I Want to Believe.
Uh-huh.
That thing is a wreck. That's a train wreck of a movie. Like, it has no tie-in to the overall mythology of the X-Files.
Sure.
It's about dudes who are, you know, the old stories of, like, dogs having their heads removed and transplanted onto other dogs' bodies.
Sure.
They do that with people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to perpetuate this guy's life that way. And it's really weird. There's an abduction story with girls who they're using for body parts.
I mean, that seems like pretty standard X-Files Monster
of
the Week
stuff. It is, but I don't want a Monster of the Week in a movie, right? Because I don't have next week. All I've got is this one event. I want some mythology.
I think that there is a version of the X-Files that could work much like an Indiana Jones. Because Indiana Jones is essentially religious artifact of the week, right? It's that kind of
sure.
Sunday matinee serial.
But the fact that this is a last gasp for the X-Files.
But it wasn't.
I But it certainly could be taken that way at the time.
When I remember the interviews coming out, and Chris Carter was like, if this movie is a success, then we can have more X-File movies. And I remember thinking, huh, no mythology, no carrying forward of the torch. This, if you really want to hit something that's going to get X-Files fans excited and make you a lot of money and guarantee more, this is a weird place to start. It's not
the
way to do
it. Yeah. And the only thing that it had going for it, I guess, is that it had the shipper angle, right? Like, yeah. Oh, Dana and Fox are in a relationship. And
which
like,
isn't the... Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't...
It's struggling.
I think everybody liked the Monster of the Week stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody liked the mythology. The myth arc, as it was called in the day. And I don't know... Like, I think some people prefer the Monster of the Week to the myth, but no one likes it. Oh, it's kind of like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
The shipping stuff was divisive as hell.
I bet.
Like, as far as I could tell, it's like a 50-50. People wanted to see Mulder and Scully get together and get down and bone, and I don't know what fucking kind of show it became then. Like, it became Newlyweds, only with monsters in it. Or the Honeymooners, yeah. Or whatever. I don't know. And then you had the people that are like vehemently against the shipping. Mm-hmm. I always felt like I was kind of like a Schrodinger shipper. I liked that the sexual tension was there. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to open the box,
okay,
so to speak.
Isn't that kind of how they've done it? Like how they played their hand.
So I've been super happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm super happy seeing all these old faces, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the characters that I liked from the series have all pretty much come back. You've got Skinner, you got Smoking Man, you got, obviously, Fox and Dana. A lot of cool stuff. They've got a new guy coming in, Joel McHale, who you're familiar with.
Sure.
Plays Tad O'Malley, who I can only assume is a bad stereotypical
Irish
wrestler.
Cop? Yeah.
No, a wrestler. Yeah. I think he's, you were talking earlier before the podcast about how jacked he got, so I assume he's going to play some sort of superhero.
Yeah, I was talking about, he's always been fit on Community. Like, that was one of the things, he's always had a good body and a handsome face. But in season 5, he is, like, at least twice as big as he was. And we're talking about, like, is he trying to get, like, the Ryan Reynolds, like, hey, Marvel's going crazy. They're going to, like, spin off who knows what, Ant-Man. Like, why can't I be Ant-Man or something? Like, I feel like there's so many superhero things. Why can't I be the Iron Fist on Netflix? Why can't I be...
Sure.
And his agent's like, well, dude, you know what? You got to get jacked.
I mean, that's what Ryan Reynolds did for Blade 3.
Chris Pratt got jacked, and now he's the Star-Lord. Yep. You know, Ryan Reynolds got jacked, and now he's fucking everybody. Green Lantern and Deadpool and...
He's playing them all.
Yeah.
So Joel McHale, probably after that Marvel money.
Got jacked, and he got himself jacked. So
all right.
I wonder if his jackedness will come into play.
We'll see. Yeah, he's probably an Irish cop.
I'm thinking he's like he's going to be the by-the-books FBI agent. Or maybe he's going to be, because Krycek's not in this one. Do you know who Krycek is?
I don't think so.
He's like the Dark Mulder. He was Dark kind of like a mercenary agent of the Syndicate. Or whatever they called themselves. Mm-hmm. He got in a big fist fight with Mulder. I'm pretty sure Mulder beat the shit out of him in Fight the Future.
Mulder and anti-Mulder came together and the universe survived.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Do you know anything about the continuity of this? Like,
so I read a rumor months ago that said that this series is going to take into account both movies happen. But essentially all the stuff about Mulder going away and maybe he was dead. And then you had you had the Terminator,
Millennium,
the
guy,
liquid metal Terminator and Mimi Rogers and their adventures and all that. That was going to be kind of retconned.
Okay, good.
But then I actually spent about an hour trying to find some quote to substantiate that, and I could not. So it might have been my wishful thinking.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, what is – it feels like even the fandoms, like, they're kind of unsure what the canon status of seasons 8 or 9 is. I didn't even see half of season 7, honestly.
It's confusing.
I was going back
with the timeline of the movies.
I recognized a lot of the stuff when I was reading the plot summaries, but I could tell that I was really losing interest, and it stopped being appointment television.
Yeah.
I mean, that was back in the days where you had to fucking program a VCR to record it.
Right.
So it seemed like I started skipping episodes in season 7. I know for a fact I didn't see any in 8 or 9.
Okay.
And I'm not going to.
So I did watch.
Looking for that kind of X-Files fan podcast, this is not it.
Yeah, I don't claim to have encyclopedic knowledge of the X-Files by any means. I have a little bit of knowledge about the early going.
I think I can hang with anybody and seasons the 1 through 6.
Yeah.
I might not know all the characters, because that's the other thing is, like, that's all in the memory banks, but I haven't really actively thought about X-Files in 7 years.
Do you have favorite episodes? Because I've got a couple that are really good. Like, all the stuff with Tombs that they did early on.
Sure.
The Mole Man.
My absolute favorite episodes are the fan service-y ones. And the ones that really stand out in my mind are this episode, I believe, is called Bad Blood, about this kind of small town vampires.
I think they did a couple of those.
That Mulder and Scully. Well, the funny thing about this is, it set up as Mulder and Scully go down and investigate, but you hear they're giving a report. This controversy, it's like Skinner's called them in the office and, like, what the fuck? This is kind of bullshit to the FBI. Now I got the director up my, you know, like he does.
Sure.
And they're giving their version of the report, and then it cuts to, like, you know, a flashback sequence. But what's funny is, like, you become aware that there's subtle influences of their point of view. Like, when Scully describes the sheriff, he is in fact Luke Wilson, and he's a handsome Luke Wilson. Mm-hmm. When Mulder describes him and they flash back to this guy, he's got, like, buck teeth. He's got, like, a dental appliance. He's got a bad haircut, maybe a lazy eye. He talks like an idiot. And then there's this back and forth about who screwed up what, because I think the plot is this vampire, teenage vampire pizza delivery boy roofies people's pizza so that he can sneak into their hotel room and drain some of their blood. And I think he tries to drink them without killing them, although my memory is fuzzy.
Okay.
But what sticks out in my mind is, like, every once in a while it would jump cut out of their recollections to, like, an outraged Mulder in Skinner's office saying, "I did not do that," or something. And it's just,
sure,
it was funny. And there's another episode I can remember where they're investigating a haunted house at Christmas that was haunted by, I know it was Ed Asner, and I think it was Lily Tomlin, although she doesn't seem old enough to be the role that I think she was. But, and these are two ghosts that try to lure young lovers to their mansion and then get them to commit suicide or kill each other. And it doesn't work on Mulder and Scully, but it's kind of like a lighthearted, you know, are they young lovers and are they going to be able to see through it? And what does it mean that they do see through it? Does that mean they're not? I like that stuff where they really played with the fan expectations.
Incorporates a little bit of the shipping, too.
Does. Yeah. And I also liked, of course, I also really like the Monster of the Week stuff, but I tend to gravitate towards the psychological ones. Like, there's this one episode I remember where there's these brother and sister who had the power, kind of like Kilgrave in the latest Jessica Jones, where they could suggest things to people and they would have to obey. Hmm. And I remember at the end, the sister was killing the brother, and he was lying in a hospital bed, and she was like soothing him, but like willing his heart to stop beating. She was like saying, "Man, your heart's been beating for so many years, and it's just so tired. It's just, it can't keep up, and you just want to let." And he was dying as she did, and it's like really fucking creepy. So I really like that. There's also a ghost story that took place in like a bowling alley, where
not the one from Mars where the face on Mars takes over the former Gemini astronaut.
No,
causes him to do crazy things. Okay,
no, this one is. They established this thing as that when you are about to die, you can see previous victims of the thing that's murdering you or something like that. And they'd always see, it's like it's like the standard thing, like you're opening your medicine cabinet, and you close it, and then you'd look and you'd see this gray kind of ghost with a slit throat whispering something, and then you'd jump cut and turn around and it's gone. But they did that, like, really effectively. There's one ghost that was, like, mutilated and caught up in, like, the machinery of the, you know, the bowling alley. Like, the thing
that sounds like a bad
way to go. The ball retriever and the pin setter. Like, that. There was that. There was and then at the end of the episode, because they were playing with the idea that Scully had cancer, there's something wrong with her dying. And at the very last scene, as she looks in her rearview mirror and she sees the last murder victim whispering something to her, and it's very creepy, and you're like, oh, my God, Scully's going to die.
She's going to die, yep.
I like that stuff. Like, I remember being terrified as an adult man in my room, like in a dark room, thinking there's a ghost right side of my bed whispering something to me. So I like that shit, the one, the kind of like spine tinglers more than the gross out stuff.
My absolute favorite is, I had to go look this up because I didn't think I watched much through season four, but I think I caught reruns of most of these things. But season four, episode two, called Home, which is the one where there's kind of this inbred family. There's like this baby they find discarded, and it tracks back to this inbred family.
And they're all mutilated.
Yeah, I mean, when I say inbred, I mean really fucking inbred. Yeah. Like so
Chainsaw almost, Massacre family kind of thing.
Yeah, Hills Have Eyes sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Where they have their mother underneath, yeah, like hidden underneath the bed, yeah. And they're using her as like a breed. It's really fucking terrifying, sure. And horrible and grotesque.
Yeah.
That's easily my favorite X-Files episode.
The other one that sticks out in my mind.
Also, the first one to ever receive the viewer discretion warning. Really? The first X-Files episode. Hmm. Yeah.
The other one I really liked is the Genie episode. Have you seen that one?
I don't think so.
Where Fox finds a real-life genie, and it plays with the tropes of, you know...
Is he too smart? Is he too smart to wish for wishes and all this stuff?
Well, I don't think you can fall into the same... I think that's like the genie. It's kind of Robin Williams-style Aladdin. Like, no, you just can't fucking do that. But at one point, I remember him... He actually sits down, I think maybe even has the assistance of a lawyer to draft this statement of what he wants for world peace. And it still gets fucked up.
Sure.
You know, I think the way he defined it, like, essentially every person on the planet was removed because the only way you could actually have true peace and there would be disturbance. Everyone's gone. So he has to undo. But
sure.
That's the kind of.
You always have to waste a wish undoing your previous wish.
It was funny, and there was still some horrific episode parts of it because there's also the monkey paw. There's two things. There's two people that the genie is servicing. There's these two dumb fucks, and there's Mulder. And there's this whole thing where one of the wishes gets the other guy killed, and then he wants him brought back to life, but it's been like a week, and the genie's like, are you really sure this is what you want? And then the guy comes back, and he just won't stop screaming because he's a rotting corpse that's had all of his bones broken. And
that's horrible.
There's like the funny stuff with Mulder trying to outwit this genie, or Jin, as she's called, and then there's the kind of horror stuff. So... I don't know. I hope that there is at least one kind of fan service-y episode in this six run.
Yeah, it's a short run.
Because I've heard that the other thing the rumor is it's balanced pretty well of myth. There's like three myth arc, three monster of the week episodes.
Huh. Okay. With such a short run, I expected, I guess, more of a mythology based show. But I've also read, like, I watched the trailer for it, and it seems like the interesting question is, like, what does an X-Files show look like with all of the surveillance and communication technologies, sure, that we have now?
Yeah,
like that fundamentally changes a lot of this stuff, right? So I guess they're gonna kind of deal with that, at least touch on it, because there's like this tone of surveillance state sort of stuff coming from Mulder in the early goings of that trailer. Definitely aliens are gonna be a part of it, so
yeah,
if you're excited about that portion of the X-Files, I think you'll be happy. And they're gonna deal with Mulder and Scully's relationship. So I think they're hitting all the right notes.
Good.
For all of the different fan groups.
And for my part, I wouldn't mind them to bring back the X-Files once a year for six. I think I read an interview where David Duchovny is like, I'm too old to do 24 episodes. And I think that's also one of the big weaknesses. You know, the X-Files is like this missing link in the fossil evidence because it's one of those 22 to 24 episode runs. So it's like way too much fucking story that you got to fill.
Yeah.
But also, it has this blended, it's not exactly a procedural, and it's not exactly a serialized form of fiction. It's got both elements blended in. So you can see, like, how this bridged a gap from the stuff that came before into, like, you know, Breaking Bad or Mad Men, which is all serialized fiction.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it come back on a six or so episode basis. And also, I would hope that they have an end game in mind.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, they need to wrap up this alien arc and then come up with something new if they want to keep going, or just eventually, like, is David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson going to do this in their 60s?
That's a good question.
They're in the mid to late 40s right now.
Yeah.
And so
what does Fox expect out of this, right? Do they expect the numbers that the X-Files once did, because that could be a fool's errand, you know?
I also think it'd be cool if they, like, every alternated years, like, next year is going to be another run of 24 or 12 or whatever they call it.
Okay.
And then next year is the X-Files. And, that, and like, really give them time to come up with something interesting and relevant and new. Because
I think you can do that every year with 6-episode runs.
Sure.
Like, I worry that, like, spacing them out 2 years each would make them even more apparent the age of these characters. Like, huh. Kiefer Sutherland's no spring chicken either.
Sure.
Like, you have him running around doing his action shit once every 2 years.
I guess that's true.
You only get a couple seasons out of that, and then he's 90.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I feel like that.
Also, he's not the healthiest guy in the world. He's got issues.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Maybe that's what they need to do. They need to come back with 20. They just need 6-episode mini season. Really tight, no fat. Very relevant.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed 24 for what it was when it came
sure.
back.
Sure.
I mean, we did.
It was
fun. We got full podcast coverage. We had a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. And if that's all X-Files is, and I'll be happy with it. But I'm honestly hoping for a little bit more focus. And I hope that I walk away after watching 6 more hours of the X-Files knowing more definitively about the world. Because that's what really got frustrating, is being felt like you're on a plot treadmill where you found that new revelations, but what did you really know?
Yeah, that's interesting, because it kind of treads this line between, like, we don't want to take this into a fictional universe where everyone knows that aliens exist and that's just out there, right?
Sure.
But they also want to delve into that from Mulder's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, How much of a continuing plot arc can you have when all of these fucking incredible things are happening, but you don't want to go into the fictional universe aspect?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the public has to become aware at some point things that Mulder has seen.
And also, it's like it got a little tiresome to have this powerful, multinational, wealthy, politically connected conspiracy that was also afraid of Fox Mulder.
Right.
Like, they've reopened the X-Files.
And wouldn't kill him. Like,
oh, no, they're going to catch on to our pizza-slinging vampire conspiracy. Like, you're running a base that's, in fact, an alien installation in the North fucking Pole. How are you, or maybe as a South Pole, come to think of it. How are you afraid of Fox Mulder, that everyone thinks is a dildo, officially, and his disgraced coroner quasi-girlfriend? Like,
and why not just kill them?
Yes!
If you're that afraid of them, get
There's
rid of them.
There's too much light on them. There's too much attention.
Yeah, that was always the tightrope that never felt like needed to be walked.
Yeah, seriously, he's fighting a life and death struggle. He and she is fighting a life and death struggle with leech monsters on a monthly basis, but like a mysterious death would be completely unexplained.
Right.
No, you just put your thumb on the scale in favor of the leech monster 1 week and they're done. They're done.
There's no such thing as aliens, but leech monsters.
They got
Mulder. What can we do?
Like, you know, he's investigating a strange exsanguination, and he turns up exsanguinated. That seems like open and shut. You don't need to.
I mean, really, the most implausible thing about the X-Files is that Mulder could have survived all of those Monster of the Week encounters.
Sure. I mean, they do make him like a very. I mean, I like that the characters are intelligent in different ways, and I also thought that. I really liked Agent Scully, too, and her unwavering skepticism. Some would say unreasonable skepticism
sure.
by the time everything's all said and
given
done.
Given what she's seen.
But I've talked to a lot of women that said that they got into one of my best friends got into psychology because of being impressed as a teenage girl with Dana Scully.
Totally Dana understandable. Mulder. Yeah, who knows?
The shipper in me got gained control.
Yeah, maybe she's changed her name at this point.
No, but I think that that's an interesting character, and I like the dichotomy of kind of like it's the, you know, Jack and Locke, the man of science, man of faith, or this would be a woman of science, man of faith, kind of aspect. Like Mulder's too credulous and she's too skeptic, but it kind of works when you put them together.
I'm trying to remain very Scully about this show.
Mm.
Like, I don't want to get too hyped up.
Let
without
me help
any
set
evidence.
Your expectations, because I just read an early review from the AV Club this morning, and they said that the first episode is underwhelming.
Okay,
and
I don't always
I think
agree with
the
AV
first three.
Club.
I get
for
it,
sure,
but I'm just saying, like, I like reviews that lower my expectations, because I tend to have better luck being pleasantly surprised than overhyped and disappointed. Mm-hmm. But to like, you just realize that this show has to bear the brunt. this first episode has to bear the brunt of exposition, of background, of catching everyone up, of like, you know, it's been 2008 since X-Files was relevant in any way. So there's a lot of uphill climb to do that. Mm-hmm. But then I think they've seen the first three and they seem to be overall pleased. But they're like, if you are a full throttle X-Files fan and you got your I Want to Believe poster in the background, just beware that this first episode might not necessarily be aimed at you.
Yeah,
those people that have been marathoning the whole season and like catching up on all the Myth Arc episodes might be in fact frustrated with the handholding that goes on. So,
yeah, I can understand that.
Sure,
you know, they've got to reintroduce people to the X-Files.
Yeah,
I'm going to be fairly forgiving on that first episode.
Same me. So I'm going
but
in.
I prefer expecting
this to be a set piece, building world building, catching up episode.
And there's a lot to cover, right? There's the mythology. There's the relationship between Dana and Fox, who has gotten complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a lot of baggage in history. But I prefer to go into these things like not really giving much credence to what people say about it.
Sure.
I just want to experience it, see what I think about it, and go from there.
Ideally, I go into everything expecting it to suck. And then I find out that my enjoyment is better when...
Okay.
You know, it's Exhibit A, Star Wars Episode 7.
Sure.
I went in there with a very cynical attitude and had my frown turned upside down. So I'm going to go in here thinking that it's going to be another tease and going to be left unsatisfied. And
I mean, you should watch the second movie then. Because that'll really set your expectations where you want them.
No. And I actually suspect that I will enjoy it. Because I'm going to watch that before the weekend. I suspected that I'm going to enjoy I Want to Believe.
Okay.
Because from what you said about it centering on their relationship, like that's meat. That's my bread and butter, my meat and potatoes, my, you know, General So and white rice. It's just like, yeah. That's what I like to eat.
I'd say it's equal parts Monster of the Week and Dana Fox relationship stuff.
All right. I like all that stuff. In fact, I can say I feel...
Maybe you'll like it better than I did.
I feel like anytime black oils or bee stings are deployed in this, I'm going to get a little... My eyes are going to narrow. My arms are going to cross.
That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for.
I've really been burnt hard on that stuff.
Understandable.
It's kind of like, I don't know how things went with the smoke monster, but like imagine like season 4, the smoke monster shows up. It's a lot different than season 1, Lost, when the smoke monster. It's like, oh, this fucking guy again.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But I speak of which I do not know.
I think that's good for the preview cast. We've talked enough about it. We'll see it on Sunday. Sunday at 9 p.m.,
we need an
email.
I think just X-Files.
No dash. Just X-Files, one word.
X-Files, no dash. You know what? I as I usually do, I will put the dash in there. I'll have it as an alias because...
With the dash, okay. Sure. Whatever you want, but the. Don't put the on
don't
it.
Don't put the.
For fuck's sake,
although,
don't put
I'll
the.
I'll probably put the on there as well.
Oh, God.
As the alias. But yeah, the official is going to be X-Files, no dash, because we're all lazy. Who wants to do that dash shit?
At baldmove.com.
Yep. If you want to send feedback, and another great place to discuss, it's going to be the forums, forums.baldmove.com.
Absolutely.
We'll have... By the time you hear this, we'll have a forum room set up just to discuss the X-Files.
Sure. So we'll be back, I guess, Tuesday?
Yeah, it comes out on Monday. So here's the other thing, is it's going to be a double premiere. So they're going to have the episode, the way I understand it, I could be wrong, and we could have a much busier Tuesday than I'm thinking. But mm-hmm. I think it's going to be like they did Better Call Saul last year.
Yeah.
Debuts Sunday night. Also has another show on Monday. Which is the second episode, which means we'll, like we did on Better Call Saul last year, we will have the full coverage episode 1 release on Tuesday, and then full coverage episode 2 release on Wednesday.
Yep.
If they do it doubled up on Sunday night, then we'll just have a supersized episode that covers them both on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I think, from what I've heard, it's going to be a Sunday-Monday deal. So
okay.
We'll have Tuesday-Wednesday release.
Yeah, and we'll definitely update you on Tuesday because we'll know by then.
Sure, and it's also, it'll be, well, you, and
you'll know by then.
Yeah. And also, I think then it's going to be just Tuesdays from there on out.
One a week. Night. Sure. Okay, that sounds good. We'll see everybody on Tuesday for the first episode, first two episodes maybe. And until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. Bye.